You're listening to Chemistry in Its Element, brought to you by Chemistry World, the magazine of the Royal Society of Chemistry.
Hello, this week, stinky sediments, skunks, and the smell of hell. Well, they all begin with the letter S, and so does this week's element. Here's Steve Mylan.
How did it smell? That was the only question I needed to ask a geologist colleague of mine about the sediment that she was trying to understand. The smell of the sediment tells a great deal about the underlying chemistry. Thick, black, anoxic sediments can be accompanied by a putrid smell, which is unique to reduced sulfur. Maybe this is why sulfur has had such a bad reputation. My son wouldn't eat eggs for 6 months when he got a smell of his first rotten one. In the Bible, it seems that whenever something bad happens or is about to happen, burning sulfur is in the picture. For example, in Genesis, we hear, "The Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah." And in Revelation, we read that the sinners will find their place in a fiery lake of burning sulfur. The odd thing is that in both cases, we shouldn't expect anything smelly to be produced. When sulfur burns in air, it generally forms sulfur dioxide or sulfur trioxide, both of which lack any smell. These compounds can further oxidize and rain out as sulfuric or sulfurous acid. This is the mechanism for acid rain, which has wreaked havoc on the forests of the northeastern United States, as sulfur-rich coals are burned to generate electricity in midwestern states and carried east by prevailing winds. The sulfuric acid is eventually rained out, causing all sorts of ecological problems. Additionally, the combination of burning coal and fog creates smog in many industrialized cities, causing respiratory problems among the locals. Here, too, sulfur dioxide and sulfuric acid are implicated as the culprits. But again, there is no smell associated with this form of sulfur. So if hell, or the devil, is said to have the smell of sulfur, maybe that's not so bad. Reduce sulfur by a couple of electrons, and its smell is unmistakable. The requirement of sulfur reduction to sulfide has clearly been lost in the translation. Hell that smells like hydrogen sulfide or any number of organic sulfur compounds would not be a nice place at all. The organic sulfide compounds known as thiols or mercaptans smell so bad that they are commonly added to odorless natural gas in very small quantities in order to serve as a smell alarm should there be a leak in the natural gas line. Skunks take advantage of the foul-smelling butyl selenyl mercaptan as a means of defending themselves against their enemies. And for me, personally, the worst chemistry of all occurs when reduced sulfur imparts a bad, skunky taste in bottles of wine or beer, bound to ruin a nice night on the town or an afternoon at the local pub. So where does the smell of hell come from in anoxic sediments? Interestingly, some bacteria have evolved to make use of oxidized sulfur, sulfate, as an electron acceptor during respiration. In a similar manner to the way that humans reduce elemental oxygen to water, these bacteria reduce sulfate to hydrogen sulfide. They clearly don't mind the smell. Smell is not the only interesting chemistry that accompanies reduced sulfur. The deep black associated with anoxic sediments results from the low solubility of most metal sulfides. Sulfate reduction to sulfide generally accompanies the precipitation of pyrite, which is iron sulfide, cinnabar, mercury sulfide, or galena, which is lead sulfide, and many more minerals. These metal sulfides have become an important industrial source for many of the important metals. Industry is one place you're almost certain to find sulfur, or more importantly, sulfuric acid, which is used in processes ranging from fertilizer production to oil refining. In fact, sulfuric acid ranks as the most highly produced chemical in the industrialized world. Imagine that, the element with such a hellish reputation has become one of the most important. The importance of sulfur may turn out to go beyond the industrialized world to saving the whole world. How so? Well, the biogenic compound dimethyl sulfide is produced from the cleavage of dimethyl sulfonopropionate, an osmotic regulatory compound produced by plankton in the ocean. The volatility and low solubility of DMS results in some 20 teragrams, that's 20 followed by 12 zeros, of sulfur emitted to the atmosphere annually. DMS is oxidized to SO2 and finally to sulfuric acid particles, which can act as cloud condensation nuclei, forming clouds which have a net cooling effect on the planet. Imagine, warmer temperatures followed by greater biological activity resulting in more DMS to the atmosphere. The resulting cloud formation might work to cool a warming planet. It's almost like the plankton are opening an umbrella made up in part of sulfur. From a symbol of damnation to savior, what a turnaround.
Steve Mylon sniffing out the stinky story of sulfur. Thankfully, next week's element is a lot less odoriferous.
The story of its discovery started when Rayleigh found that nitrogen extracted from the air had a higher density than that made by decomposing ammonia. The difference was small but real. Ramsay wrote to Rayleigh, suggesting that he should look for a heavier gas in the nitrogen got from the air, while Rayleigh should look for a lighter gas in that from ammonia. Ramsay removed all the nitrogen from his sample by repeatedly passing it over heated magnesium. He was left with 1% which would not react, and found it was denser than nitrogen. Its atomic spectrum showed new red and green lines, confirming it a new element.
And that new element was argon, nicknamed the lazy element because originally scientists thought that it wouldn't react with anything. Now we know that's not true, and John Emsley will be here to unlock argon's secrets on next week's Chemistry in Its Element. I hope you can join us. I'm Chris Smith, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Chemistry in Its Element is brought to you by the Royal Society of Chemistry and produced by thenakedscientists.com. There's more information and other episodes of Chemistry in Its Element on our website at chemistryworld.org/elements.